We're continuing with one of the two summary verses from this Damodar Lila, texts 20 and 21. We heard from chapter 8, they're summarizing the whole section, in addition to telling the story or narrating the Lila, Shukadeva Goswami chooses to tell this particular story at this particular time to more adequately respond to a question that's in chapter 8 from Maharaj Parikshit. What austerities must Yashoda and Nanda have undergone to achieve this particular affection that they have and the opportunity to serve Krishna in this way? The Bhagavatam is a mystery, like we discussed a little bit yesterday evening. There's understandings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we're just not going to hear any other place. There's no other scripture that gives these understandings. And like the young girl asked in one home visit, how do we know this is true? But we won't go there again. We'll go to what's being revealed through Srimad Bhagavatam's kindness is understandings of the source of everything, that which is, or he who is, the source of everything. The way to understand is through bhakti. I was thinking some more about Radha's question from yesterday about who is the best devotee. Remember the question? So, more thought on that. What we're hearing in this section, in this particular verse, in fact, is Mother Yashoda surpasses the mercy received by her compared to the mercy received by Brahma, Shiva, and even the Goddess of Fortune. And the Goddess of Fortune, as we know, this is his internal potency, his Swarup Shakti, the Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmi. Not the material goddess who gives wealth, but the spiritual goddess who gives association with Narayan. So, the special feature of Mother Yashoda was the mercy received. And we heard some really subtle explanations that the mercy she received is not different than bhakti, and mercy and bhakti are not different than Krishna. So she has this very special position of prema, that mercy or bhakti, the prema bhakti that she has is not accessible. It hasn't been awarded to these other personalities. Then we saw a little bit of discussion about Radha's question, who, you know, there's Prahlad, who's the best of the devotees. There's Haridas Varya, Govardhan, the best of the devotees. There's Uddhava, the best of the devotees. And, you know, it's a nice long list, the best of the devotees. The gopis. I'll just make mention of this reference, two references. One is from a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam known as Chaitanya Manjusha, Chaitanya Manjusha, by Srila Chakravarti Thakur, that's how Bhaktisiddhanta addresses him, where Ramya Kachit Upasana Vrajavadu Vargena Ya Kalpita. There it says Ramya, Ramya. You probably know some people named Ramya. Nice girl's name. Ramya in the Sanskrit is pleasing. Kachit, that which is pleasing. Upasana, we know what upasana means, worship or the process of worship. And Vraja Vadhu, Vraja Vadhu, that's the gopis. Now Vadhu, this means wife, correct? Vadhu means wife. So this is speaking of married gopis. Vraja Vadhu, Vargena. Vargena means a group. It's the worship of the upasana of Vraja Vadhu, the gopis of Vrindavan, is the most pleasing. So what's pleasing to Krishna? And then most pleasing to Krishna? It's love and devotion. So the greatness of the gopis is their love and devotion. And their love and devotion is unexcelled. And their being able to please Krishna is unexcelled. Ramya, Ramya Kadat, Ramya Kachit. And amongst them, of course, is Radha. So the whole section of chapter 9 is the super excellence of Mother Yashoda, and that because of the prema that Mother Yashoda has, or the mercy that Mother Yashoda has received, the mercy is being endowed with prema. So the residents of Vrindavan in general, we can say the best of all, this is Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the best of all the devotees, or those who have received the greatest of the Lord's mercy. In part one of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it's Narada's quest. It's a quest literature that's very popular these days. Quest for understanding who is the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord. So in this chapter, it's a comparative Mother Yashoda. And expand that and say all the residents of Vrindavan, the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, they are the greatest because of this prema, because of the mercy that they've received, which he has bestowed upon them by performing his pastimes of love, where their love and his love are reciprocated in a fantastic way. And amongst them, we can say the gopis, and when amongst them, we can say Radharani. And that's our Gaudiya understanding. This is Lord Chaitanya's teaching. And whenever this verse is referred to many times in Prabhupada's writings and speaking and so forth, Ramya Kadachit Upasana Vrajavidhu. So same Arajo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam. Vrajesha Tanayas. Vrajesha, Vraja Isha Tanaya. Vraja Isha, Nanda. Tanaya, son. Krishna is the worshipable object, Aradhya Bhagavan, who? Vrajesha Tanayas. His abode is Vrindavan. And the most pleasing form of worship is the worship of the Vraja Vidu. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Pramanam Amalam. The perfection, Prema, Pum, Artamahan. Prema Pumarto Mahan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Matam Idam Tatra Dara Na Paraha. He has the highest regard. The highest regard for Lord Chaitanya. That's his comment. It's the introductory verse to his commentary. It's a very wonderful summary of who is Lord Chaitanya and his teachings. And his teachings, one more time, is the most pleasing form of worship, upasana, of Krishna, the Vrajesha Tanayas, the son of Nanda, is that exhibited by or carried by the gopis of Vrindavan. So if we were to make the definitive statement, who's the best of Krishna's devotees, we can say all of them, and amongst all of them, Radha is the best. And the criterion, going back to what we've been reading, is the prema. And of all the forms of prema, the Madhurya Prema is topmost, even in a comparative way compared to Mother Yasoda. Or like the question yesterday, even Prahlad, because Prahlad doesn't have that prema. He's a Vaikunthavasi. He's a pure devotee. Therefore, he's the best of devotees. And there's many best of devotees in Vaikuntha. And amongst all the pure devotees who are the best, the residents of Vrindavan are the best of the best. And so forth. So that's some thought. Where Bhagavatam, this particular verse, is giving us that understanding, this very special position of Mother Yasoda. So here's the verse that we are covering. It's text 20 from chapter 9. Shukadev Goswami is praising Yashoda's prema. Translation: neither Brahma, nor Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Lord, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy. Prema equals mercy, and mercy equals prema, at least in this context. So now we're continuing with the commentaries, starting with chapter 7. Chapter 7 is dealing with the the explanation of the children of Vrindavan of the Shakatasura killing. And the kids said what happened, and none of the parents believed. Same as what happened after the Yamala Arjun trees were pulled over. No one believed it. They're just children. And the commentary reads, they, that's the elders, had complete knowledge since they were dear to the Supreme Lord. However, they did not perceive Krishna's unlimited power. Aprameyam. Because the Supreme Lord cannot be measured. That's what aprameya means. Aprameya. And particularly in this case, he was revealing his childhood pastimes and thus hid his powers. So they had complete knowledge, but their knowledge of his complete powers were hidden, not revealed. They were overcome with the bliss of prema. Same theme as Mother Yashoda, all the residents of Vrindavan, by which they took Krishna as their son. That prema covers everything else, meaning his opulences. Balaram is described also as being overcome with prema that comes outside of Vrindavan. One can be overwhelmed with prema outside of Vrindavan also. This is in relation to the marriage with Rukmini. And he heard that there was going to be a big battle. And so Balaram came to the rescue, like Krishna needs rescuing. Balaram heard about these preparations of the inimical kings and how Krishna had set off alone to steal the bride. Balaram feared that a fight would ensue. Immersed in affection for his brother, he hurried to Kundina with a mighty army consisting of infantry and soldiers riding on elephants, horses, and chariots. There's other examples that are often referred to. Balaram and the cowherd boys became overwhelmed when they saw Krishna in the mouth of Bukka. So the message is, affection can cover the fact that Krishna is omniscient and all-powerful. Now, there are other situations where Balaram didn't become overwhelmed. A nice example is the Kaliya serpent pastime. When he saw, he wasn't overwhelmed. He was not at all worried. Everyone else was worried. He was understanding Krishna's having fun. And many other things at the same time. So then comes this reference for the morning's verse about Yashoda's specific prema. And he summarizes, this is Jiva Goswami, quote, "They could not understand, since they were overwhelmed by prema. But others' statements could enlighten them. But even the cowherds did not believe the word." This is now back to the Shakatasura. "They could," the elders, "could not understand, since they were overwhelmed by prema. But others' statements could enlighten them. But even cowherds did not believe the words of the children, since children spoke them. If even the cowherds did not believe, definitely the gopis could not believe them." So that was chapter 7. Now we're moving on to chapter 8. Now this is Krishna's childhood pastimes, speaking about Rohini and Yashoda. "The two mothers took their sons, beautiful with mud and cosmetics, in their arms, and gave them their breasts and fed them milk. Looking carefully at the mouths of their sucking children, they became joyful on seeing small teeth when the boys smiled softly." I mean, the pastimes are really well enacted, yes? No teeth, and then small teeth, and then doesn't speak about losing their front teeth like Vishaka. Commentary continues. "Their bodies shone with mud and cosmetics. It is said, quote, what is not beautiful in the Sundara Kanda of Ramayana?" Because it's Sundara Kanda. Sundara means beautiful. "Similarly, here it is said, what is not beautiful in the infant boys?" Now, they're beautiful. They're covered by mud. So the commentary says, this follows the example, quote, a lotus becomes more beautiful when covered by shaivala plants, which means weeds, aquatic weeds, weeds that grow in the water. So the lotus is more beautiful when it's surrounded by weeds that grow in the water. So you think, you picture in your mind a lake or a pond that has lotuses without weeds, and then there's lotuses with weeds, and it's more beautiful. It's like a bouquet that has just greens along with the flowers. So you can just have flowers just stuck in the vase, or you have greens along with the flowers in the vase. So Krishna covered by mud and Balaram, more beautiful. This was the particular beauty of their infant age from that time onward. Both of the mothers regarded the other's sons as their own. Nija, Sutau. Nija means own. Sutau means son. And sometimes, out of affection, they gave the other child their breast to feed him. Out of great bliss, they looked carefully in their children's mouths and felt the greatest pleasure because of their bliss. And then comes this morning's verse and then the next one. Neither Brahma nor Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Lord, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Jashoda. It's kind of sinking in. The mercy is the prema that she feels towards Krishna when she sees him. And it's very special. The next verse, 21. Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not so easily accessible to mental speculators. To those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Sma, it expresses joy or wonder. This is chapter 8 again. Mukham is in the singular since each mother looked at the mouth of one child at a time with love. The soft or beautiful smile showed small teeth or a few teeth. Now, continuing with chapter 8, so we're going to get like a whole series of appreciations of. This is verse 25 of chapter 8. When Mother Yashoda and Rohini were unable to protect the babies from calamities threatened by horned cows, by fire, by animals with claws and teeth, such as monkeys, dogs, and cats, and by thorns, swords, and other weapons on the ground, they were always in anxiety. Parents note what parental anxiety is. If you don't want anxiety, don't become a parent. If you become a parent, expect anxiety. And their household engagements were disturbed at that time. They were fully equipped, excuse me, they were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy known as the distress of maternal affection, which was an ecstasy for them. For this was aroused within their minds. That's the translation of text 85. Here's commentary. When the boys became stronger with age, the mothers became agitated with prema because of the boys' fickle actions. The mothers had to prevent them from grabbing or playing with horns, fire, teeth, etc. But they could not prevent them. Why could they not control the boys? The boys were most fickle. They wanted to touch horns of bulls, teeth of dogs or monkeys, knives, and birds such as peacocks. They could prevent their sons from touching these things, but others could not, since they, the others, could not beat them. Since it was necessary for the mothers to prevent them, as they were overwhelmed with affection, they did this by keeping the boys by their sides and by using words. In other words, they didn't beat them. The mothers were not able to do duties in the house. The other mothers, so the other mothers have maternal affection for Krishna too. The other mothers were not able to do duties in their house to which they were attached from the birth of Krishna, since they took that house as Krishna's house. That's their consciousness. It's not Krishna's, not their son, but it's Krishna's house because of their attachment to him. Thus, their minds also became very unsettled. When the people of Vraja became unsettled, the unsettled state known as Sanchadibhav, called Chapala, nourished their Staibhav, called Vatsalya, and became superior to Samadhi. So we know what Chapala means. It's the mind. Chapala Himana Krishna. The mind is flickering. And when it's used, at least the translation of Chapala in relation to Bhava, it's a particular Sanchari Bhava. It's restlessness arising from ecstatic emotion. Restlessness arising from ecstatic emotion. Their minds became filled with ecstasy and particularly manifested as restlessness. That's a bhava, sanchari bhava, that nourishes their stai bhava. Stai bhava means steady ecstasy. And when bhavas mix with their steady ecstasy, it's called rasa. Rasa, so say it backwards. Rasa means there's a particular stai bhava or steady ecstasy that when that steady ecstasy mixes with different bhavas, it becomes rasa, prema rasa. So in this case, their parental affection. They were quite familiar with anxiety because of their affection for Krishna. And it was an ecstatic anxiety, which became superior to samadhi. The highest state of happiness in the house became manifested. Lord Brahma will say this later in the Bhagavatam, comparing them to materialists, that's the Vrijbasi ladies, their homes, wealth, friends, dear relatives, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts of the people of Vraja are all dedicated only to you. That's in his chapter 14 prayers. The people of Vraja were never absorbed in material consciousness. Naivindam bhava vedanam. Navindam bhava. Bhava isn't bhava, it's anxiety or trouble. Bhava. Vedanam. They didn't know bhava. Navindam bhava vedanam. Maharaj Nanda and others could not even perceive material tribulations. They were put through tribulations. They felt something, but they didn't perceive the tribulations that worldly people perceive because they were so absorbed in ecstatic love. Now here we go. Yashoda's bhava is described in our verse this morning. From all these verses, it is clear that their bhava, the vatsalya rasa personalities, parental affection personalities, their bhava was most exalted. Here's a nice reference. Vaishampayana also describes their attraction to Krishna and Balaram. It's a long quote. The two boys, from infancy, were like one, shining like a small moon and sun. They slept together, ate together, dressed together, and nourished their infant emotions together. They engaged in the same activities, like one body in two forms. They were absorbed as one child in carrying out heroic feats. They were the same height and acted like humans with divine qualities, protecting the world. They were disguised as two cowherd boys. They appeared beautiful in their pastimes, which were entwined together. They both shone effulgently like the moon and the sun in the sky. They wandered about in a crooked manner, everywhere with snake-like arms. Means when they're crawling, they didn't go in a straight line. They were back and forth. Covered with mud, they shone like two proud elephant calves. Sometimes they were smeared with ashes, and sometimes with cow dung. The young boys, bright as fire, would run about, and sometimes they would crawl about on their knees. They would play in the calf pen, covered with cow dung up to the head. Endowed with all beauty, they gave joy to their parents. Sometimes they would insult others and laugh. They were filled with mirth, and their hair was disheveled. With moon-like faces, the two boys shone with splendor. Very nice, huh? We'll read one more. This is now chapter 8, text 45. Quote, the glories of the Supreme Lord are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, literatures like Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet, Mother Yashoda considered that Supreme Person an ordinary child. Commentary. Ah, Yashoda is supremely fortunate. The Lord is praised in the three Vedas, ultimately as the Antaryami. Antaryami. Antaryami means super soul or the soul within, of karma and upasana. He is praised in the Upanishads as the greatest, or Brahman, by qualities and sarup. He is praised in theistic Sankhya and Yoga and the Puranas as Bhagavan. He is praised in the Pancharatra Agamas. Pancharatra Agamas is the text that describe worship. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Lakshmi in some temples is along with the form of the Lord and his Shaktis. Over there, the Agamas say you worship the Shakti also. That's so. Pancharatra Agama scriptures, praise him as well. Sattvatai. Sattvatai, so goodness, sattva, which are filled with worship of the Lord. The Agamas, as well as the Puranas, are included in this because they are accepted as Angas of the Vedas. The Lord is glorified to some little extent, upa, in these works, since the Lord is actually unlimited. She, Mother Yashoda, considered the Lord to be her own son, caring for him affectionately as a mother. This is greatly astonishing. The following should be considered. Her greatness was not because of seeing the universe. This vision of the universe is rejected in the second canto. That's second canto, chapter 1 deals with universal form. Chapter 2 says go beyond the universal form. So those are verses from canto 2, chapter 2. As long as meditation on the Lord and the witness of all beings, superior to even Brahma, which has bhakti as an element, does not manifest, one should remember the gross universal form after performing necessary rites of karma yoga. So, in other words, go beyond meditation on the universal form if you can achieve these things. Bhakti, and so forth. Understanding the Lord as Paramatma, because that's chapter 2. Back to chapter 1, canto 2. The yogi will worship the Lord in ocean of bliss, eternal in time and space, and nothing else, since other things will cause degradation. So that is to say, the universal form has the potency to carry one beyond degradation, but is to be surpassed through bhakti. Paragraph. Nor does seeing the universe, that's Mother Tussauds seeing the universe within Krishna, does seeing the universe produce knowledge of the Supreme Lord as Krishna? Of course, she said that her child may have astonishing powers. She then defined the Lord who cannot be understood, which is a contradiction. She then stated that she thought Krishna as her son, just as she thought of Nanda as her husband because of Maya. But this does not mean that she saw Krishna as the Lord, for otherwise she would have praised him as Devaki did. And at no point did she offer prayers like Devaki did. The meaning of this episode is not that seeing Krishna as the Lord is superior and seeing him as her son is inferior, since that meaning cannot be found in any of these verses. The meaning would also not agree with later questions and answers in the text. Parikshit praises her for rejecting knowledge of Krishna as Lord and instead worrying about his protection and feeding Krishna milk. Parikshit laments for Vasudeva and Devaki, who, though knowing Krishna as the Lord, did not have affection for him as their son. The most knowledgeable poets, such as Vyasadeva, also state that Yashoda's realization of Krishna as her son was the highest. Shukadeva establishes Yashoda and Nanda as superior to Brahma and Shiva, although they have great devotion and all knowledge. They, now this is both Yashoda and Nanda, are superior to even Lakshmi. That's our verse this morning. Those ordinary people who worship Krishna as the son of Yashoda are superior to all the Gyanis. That's the next verse, 21. Elsewhere, the superiority of this love is mentioned. Quote, this is Canto 5, Chapter 6. We heard this yesterday evening. My dear king, this is Shukadeva to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear king, the supreme person Mukunda is actually the maintainer of all the members of the Pandava and Yadu dynasties. Almost done. There's a reference to now Canto 10, Chapter 12. That's the cowherd boys. In this way, with an abundance of splendor caused by Krishna, they played with him. Though he is pure consciousness, or happiness known as Brahman for the Gyanis, the Supreme Lord for the devotees with Dasya Bhav, and an ordinary human child for those covered with material illusion. That is, The prema factor is extended here to by Shukadev to the cowherd boys. It's not that Mother Jasoda has a franchise on prema. She has a particular kind of prema, and it's unequaled by others. Final sentence. If this is so for the general devotees, what to speak of those like Yashoda and Nanda? Thus, the conclusion stated becomes even stronger. And that's it for this morning. And we're at 8:24. Let's see if we have some discussion. Okay. Radha's ready, as usual. What would we do without Radha? We'd end class early. That's what we do. Go ahead.
My question is, why? What was the first, what do you call it? How was the husband of the gopis perceiving Krishna? Husbands of the gopis perceiving Krishna.
The husbands of the gopis?
Perceiving Krishna.
How were the husbands of the gopis perceiving Krishna?
Oh, like the wives. Their son. Not biological son, but parental affection like son. That's how they're perceiving him. They had their own children. They had boys, and the boys were Krishna's friends. But the parents had affection for Krishna as their son, even more than they had for their own sons. That's how they perceived him.
Why didn't Krishna take out and rescue Devaki and Vasudev from the shackles when he got a bit older, like 7 years old, and we just take them to Raja and they can also participate in the pastime?
I couldn't follow.
He's asking, when Krishna was a little older, why would he not rescue Nanda Maharaj and Devaki? Vasudeva and Devaki from the prison house and then take them also to Vrindavan so that they could also enjoy Krishna.
Oh, because their mood is different. Krishna reciprocates with the mood of love of everyone. Or if there's not a mood of love, it's whatever their regard for Krishna is. He reciprocates with them accordingly. He doesn't elevate somebody beyond their capacity. They have their capacity. Now, the pastime at Kurukshetra has a special significance because then the Brijvasis mixed with the residents of Mathura and Dwarka. It was, that must have been a very interesting experience. So it's a long chapter. But they have their bhava, and Krishna supports and reciprocates with their love. So he didn't cross over. He supported.
The question is, when Balaram stopped Yashoda from going into the river to save Krishna from the grip of Kaliya, I got reminded of Lakshman trying to Sita trying to push Lakshman to go, but Lakshman was resistant, and Sita had a big reaction. So what was the reaction of Yashoda?
I got that Lakshman prevented Sita from doing what?
Yeah, so Sita was trying to make Lakshman go to the forest to save Ram, but Lakshman didn't go. So then over here, it's like similar. Balaram is stopping.
Balaram is better at stopping Mother Yashoda than Lakshman was at stopping Sita.
So what was Yashoda's?
It's a different pastime.
So what was Yashoda's reaction to that?
Whose reaction?
Yashoda's reaction. Because Sita's reaction was like, hey.
Well, we don't know what her reaction was, but he, you know, he's Balaram. He stopped her. We don't hear what how she felt by being stopped by Balaram.
Okay.
No more. Anything?
Yes, Maharaj. So, I was trying to understand the difference in different tattvas. And so, Srimati Radharani, like you said, Mother Yashoda is a Nitya Siddha devotee.
Yes.
So, what is the position of Srimati Radharani? Is she an expansion of Krishna, or is she a Nitya Siddha devotee, or is both could be the same also? Nitya Siddha sometimes seems
the term Nitya Siddha means eternally perfect, and she's certainly eternally perfect. And she's an expansion of Krishna's light, or she is Krishna's Ladini potency. So you can say she's Ladini potency. She's an expansion of Krishna, and Krishna's Ladini potency. Both are correct.
So also I'm trying to understand the difference in Jiva Tattva and Krishna Tattva. So what would be the right understanding that Nitya Siddha devotees are like Krishna Tattvas, they are not Jiva Tattvas?
No. No. Krishna Tattva is not. My understanding is like this. It's a term that means very simple, eternally perfect. So you can say Krishna is eternally perfect. But the term Nitya Siddha generally applies to those who are devotees. In the category of devotees, they're eternally perfect devotees. And in those eternally perfect devotees, some are Shakti Tattva and some are Jiva Tattva.
Radharani is the Shakti Tattva.
She sure is.
And Mother Yashoda?
She's Shakti Tattva, Nanda Maharaj.
So then another question is, could some Jiva Tattvas be Nitya Siddha devotees?
Yes, of course. Oh, yeah.
Not just Shakti Tattva.
You're asking the same question, same answer, yeah. Not just. That's my understanding. I mean, I could cross-reference or research further, but I don't know where I wouldn't even have an idea where to search for that.
Just one more question.
Okay.
It is puzzling to understand that gopis have pride, and my understanding is that
it's a transcendental pride,
spiritual pride.
Yeah, feeling
on Krishna.
Basically. Yeah.
So there cannot exist any material pride.
That's correct. Zero.
May I just ask? So, in the first lecture you had in Boston, I asked the question about what was the success of Mother Yashoda when she was even apparently angering him or chastised him. So my realization today is that the success is to feel the presence of Krishna, whether it's this pastime or that pastime for her. And I think today you mentioned one statement, I kind of forgot the exact phrase, that she was rewarded by the presence of Krishna, something like that. So is that the reward we look for, whether the outcome is this or that, but when you feel presence of Krishna, that's really the reward.
Yeah. Maya Sakta Manak Partha. That's the perfection. And it can look like this or that. And the feelings are going to be this or that. But the perfection is attachment to Krishna in love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More?
Yeah. Can we ever become a Nitya Siddha?
You asked that question already.
No, can, like, not Mother Yashoda, but, like...
Yes, you asked that question already. You can become a Sadhana Siddha.
Nitya Siddha.
Nitya Siddha is Nitya. You don't become Nitya.
Okay.
Okay. Anything? Okay, we have anything online? Online.
This is Jordan Shampton, devotee. In the purport, it explains Mother Shoda is a Nitya Siddha devotee. Mm-hmm. Are all eternal associates in this category?
Yes. Yes, next. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.